good to be together this morning. We're going to have a great service here. Pastor Shabelli is going to share the word. Praise God. Wow, what an awesome place to be where we can receive from God in our hearts what God has to say to us. The last few days have been interesting for me and my family. My mom passed to be with the Lord yesterday. Many of you got to know her because she moved down here from New York last November. And she was doing real good. I was with her Tuesday, and then she started to go downhill. And the doctor said she had about 72 hours to live, and it was about half of that maybe. And the family, my sister Mary came from the West Coast, and we were together as a family. And my mom lived an awesome life. She was 97 years old when she passed. Wow. For an introduction this morning, I want to say something to you about our Bible. This Bible, the marks on the page in the Greek language are called graphe, graphics. We say in English graphe, the markings on the Bible, you know. But what the Bible is actually saying is called the logos. That heaven and earth will pass away, but not my word. The logos will not pass away. This is the thought, the whole thought of God, our Bible. How many of you have a Bible? All right, wow. And then how many of you are reading the Bible, thinking with the Bible, learning the Bible? Okay, there's a good word for us this morning. And it's this word, rhema. The rhema is the Greek word for, I'll read it to you. The primary Greek word in the Bible for word of God is logos. The second primary Greek word that describes scripture is rhema, which refers to a word that is spoken and means an utterance. A rhema is a verse or portion of Scripture that the Holy Spirit brings to our attention with application to a current situation or need for direction. I think you know this. Not everybody understands that when I'm reading my Bible, like I can go through a chapter, and then one part of it maybe gets my attention, and I kind of take that and kind of roll it around in my heart and in my mind. That might be a rhema. It has happened to me without reading the Bible that I'm in a situation, and just like a bolt of lightning, like a flash, not physically like something happens, but in my, it's clear that God said something to me, and I have it may be a Bible verse reference. One time it happened to me when I went to Bible college, 1972. I went to Bible college by faith. I didn't know exactly what I was doing, but I went to where I was staying. I knelt down, and God spoke to me. He said, and I'm a new believer, but he said very clearly, Joshua 1, verse 5. Now, I didn't know what that meant, and I wondered if Joshua is a book of the Bible. So I went to the table of contents in the Bible, and I looked to see if Joshua was there. I went to chapter 1, verse 5. And that spoke to my heart, that verse. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Good word. Wow. God has been with me. And that word was really something very meaningful to me. That's called a rhema. My mom passed. We as a family sat in her room yesterday as she is in the bed. But she's not there. She's gone to be with God. How many angels came and took her? Luke 16. I understood that two angels came to take the poor man Lazarus. I better double check that. When Jesus was raised from the dead and they saw it, they went into the tomb, how many angels were there? Two, one at where his head was and one where his feet were. What do you think is the meaning of that? I got like two parts to me. My physical life is like my feet. My spiritual life is like my head. I have an angel take care of my physical life, lest I dash my foot against a stone. Then I have an angel that helps me receive from God and helps me spiritually and mentally in my life. Whoa. Wow. But this is what I wanted to say. Years ago, when I was thinking of death, because I had gone to, as perhaps you have seen, people pass, and the human body is, in 1 Corinthians 15, it says there in verse 42, this was a rhema for me that helped me understand to process the whole idea of dying. Because I can't get used to dying. How about you? Ask your neighbor. Turn to your neighbor and say, hey, are you comfortable with the whole idea about dying? Have you gotten used to that yet? Can you welcome it? Is it normal? I don't know what your neighbor just said to you, but I would like to say to you, as for me, I'm never used to the whole idea. I don't want to die. There's called the Hebrews 2, the fear of death. Death is, we were not made to die, we were made to live. Hey, Jesus said it this way. Remember what he said? How come you don't remember what he said? Remember what he said? He said, God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Is he the God of the dead or the God of the living? What did he mean? Abraham and Isaac and Jacob are not dead because God is not the God of the dead. He is the God of the living. They are with God. Hallelujah. They are with God. I'm saying all this because you and I need to live, to learn to live by rhemas, living words that come from God that help you pilot your life through, go through life. Because you will face not death, but failure, broken heart, disappointment, pain, hunger maybe, maybe depression, fear, worry. This happens to people. We are people and we are weak. And God has made us and pities us, knowing our frame, that we are made from the dust. So how should a man live then, Jesus said? Man, let's not live by his belly alone. Put your hands on your big belly and shake your belly like jelly. Man does not live by bread alone, but by rhemas. Rhemas. That's why you read your Bible to yourself, by yourself, in the morning and evening, in the afternoon. That's why you come to church and listen to messages so that you can get ramas. How many of you have come in here on a certain day? Nobody knows anything about your situation at home. Nobody knows anything about your job or your finances or your emotions or your family. But God knows. And he says something to you from this book that is right from his heart and his mouth that is used to comfort you and guide you, govern you, give you counsel, help you, and direct your paths, because we have a new and living way, like the escalator in the airport, you know, the escalator that just takes you up and down and horizontally. It's a new and a living way. Let me read this to you. The following passages of Scripture give examples of the ramas of God. When Jesus told Peter to cast the fishing nets on the other side of the boat, Peter answered, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, rhema, I will let down the net." Luke 5:5. When the angel told Mary she would be pregnant, Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy rhema." Luke 2:29. God gave John the message he was to preach as a forerunner to Christ. The rhema of God came unto John. Luke 3:2. God told Peter, "Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Peter remembered the rhema of the Lord, Acts 11:16. Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said, "Before the cock crow, you shall deny me three times." Matthew 26:75. Listen, before the cock crow, it says, Peter remembered the word or rhema of Jesus that told him that. What has God told you in your life? Can you remember any rhemas where God told you anything personally? Do you remember any of them? I still have some of them that he has spoken to me that I believe are words from God's mouth to my heart. This means that your life is sometimes an adventure because God said, "I will do what God said." Mary said, "Let it be unto me according." And what happened? Her life was like an adventure. Peter let down the net. At your word, there's an adventure. When you live by words that come from God, you might end up praying, going to the mission field. You may end up, and let me say this regarding offerings, tithing. You should go to God on that subject and look in the Scripture and see if tithing is from God. And if it's according to your word, and I am doing this, God will, he said, he will open the gate, the, how does it go? Windows, thank you. I'm saying gates, doors, bars. He will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on us. That is sometimes why we have financial difficulty, because we are not living our life based on his word or his rhema. Maybe he will say, "Take up your bed and walk, and you will be healed." How do we know? But I wanted to finish with this. This is a long, I just thought I'd say for a few minutes, but here it is. This is good. I see my mom. I know she's not there. And I remember this verse from years ago. So is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. Another word is humiliation. When you and I die, it's a humiliation. It's dishonor. That's why personally I don't believe in open caskets. I don't think it's needed. I know funeral homes do it and they advise it. But I remember the person with honor, and their body is sown in dishonor. I don't care about their dishonor. I care about their honor. Don't worry about it if you do that. I don't care. But I say in principle, a body serves its purpose in this life, but that's not the whole picture. It is sown in dishonor. It is sown in humiliation, but that's not the whole picture. It is raised in glory. One day there'll be the trump of God, and all we that are sleeping in the graves, I mean, we are in heaven, but our bodies are in the graves. And by the way, the believers that are in heaven are anticipating the resurrection of their body, for their body will be redeemed out of the dust of the ground and be glorified. And that day is coming in heaven, and it's coming for us if we are on the earth when it happens. That's called the rapture. So with these words, I am comforted. And with these words, we make our lives walk through a world of death and shame and trouble. And I give you counsel this morning. Do all you can to live by these words. Get them, eat them, enjoy them, think about them, build your life on them. They will prepare you. They will speak to you. They will counsel you. They will guide you. They will give you liberty, and they'll give you a message. So wherever you are and at any time in life, you will have something that the earth cannot give you and the earth cannot take away. I got something that the world can't give and the world can't take it away. Hey, hey. I got something that the world can't take it away. Hey. I got something that the world can't give. And it keeps me day by day. Oh, I got something talking about makes me sing and it makes me shout. Hey. I got something that the world can't give, and the world can't take it away. Amen. Okay. Feel free to come for bread and wine. We'll do communion this morning. I wanted to give a shout out. Nora is here from Finland. That's awesome. Nora is here. The Gibbs family is here, right down here. So good to see you all the time. Doug Jensen is back from Hungary. And there was somebody else, I think. Oh, yeah, Oleg. Oleg is here. And Oleg is going back. When are you going back? Wednesday. Goes back to Europe Wednesday. These are great people. Thank you so much. Feel free to come forward for the elements for communion.
Would you stand with me? Not for the whole time, but just for a few minutes. 2 Peter chapter 1. He keeps making a way for me, right? How about you? You too?
Yes.
Excuse me. I love studying, about Peter, and especially when it comes to the promises of God. I mean, he was an interesting man, and as you read the scriptures, wasn't so sure the Gentiles should receive the message. Said to Jesus, "Everybody's going to deny you, not me." Sorry, Peter. Didn't work out that way. And yet he understood something about the promises of God. Verse 4, 2 Peter 1:4. And before I read that, I had a thought in my mind when I was sitting there. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard a voice. That's like a rhema, isn't it? I'm in the Spirit. It's the Lord's day, and I heard a voice. And Jesus spoke to John, and John was in a very difficult place. He was on the island of Patmos at 98 years old, all alone in a prison, a cave prison. And yet, through the word of God, he would escape. Amen? By the way, Bible school is coming. Did you know that? August, when does it start? Huh? 26th? Yes. So if you've never taken a Bible college class, what a way to escape. Escape. Don't worry about grades. Don't worry about, you know, just come and learn the word. And if you've taken Bible classes, and if you took them 20 years ago, this is another day, another era, another age, right? Just come. Come and hear the word of God. And Monday through, is it Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, right? Look at that. 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious Bible college promises. I'm sorry, I misquoted that. And precious promises. That by these Bible college promises, you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Father, thank you today that partakers with the promises are escapers. Partakers are escapers. Partakers of the divine nature, and not just being born again, but a partaker of the exceeding great and precious promises. Bless this time, this day, in Jesus' name. Amen. After service, too, the pastors will be in front, so if you need prayer for anything, they will be available. You may be seated. I've been thinking a lot about the promises of God and the importance of them. The word for promise signifies a few things. Number one, every promise is grace given. Amen? They're given by the God of all grace. Number two, every promise is a personal word from God. We heard Pastor Scheller talk about rhemas. Every promise can be, for me, a personal word from God. Number three, every promise has an eternal purpose. Number four, the Spirit performs the promises, not me, but the new man, the Holy Spirit, is the performer of the promises. And every promise, number five, glorifies God. Are you with me? These are the promises of God. I'm not talking about subjectivity in the mind. I'm talking about these eternal promises that God has given us. Let's just think about a few of them for a few moments. God promises to love you, Jeremiah 31, 1 through 3. It's amazing. Does God love you? Hello? Does he promise to love you? Even when you don't think it's happening? Even when you think it's not happening? Even when you've decided it's not happening? Because God is a love and he could do nothing but love me. Amen? And you too. God's promised me mercy that rejoices over judgment. Isn't that great? Right? I like to judge myself, condemn myself, beat myself up, and then do it to other people. But God says mercy exalts, you know how I like how he jumps up. Can you just jump up once? I'm talking to you, yeah. Can you just jump up and spin around? Jump and spin. There you go, okay. Mercy exalts, lifts up, is jumping for joy. Mercy rejoices with a jumping rejoicing over judgment. No judgment, no condemnation. Here's a promise from God. Huh? You like this promise? There is therefore now no condemnation. You like that promise? How about this promise? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, Joshua 1, 5, Psalm 51, Isaiah 49, 14 through 16. Here's a promise. I'll never leave you. Wow. You're going to leave me, but I won't leave you. I love that, don't you? I don't want to leave him, but I'm just saying I love that he will never leave me. Right? Faithful is he who called me, who will also what? He'll do it. He doesn't just call, he does the doing. You know, I think I got to do this and I got to do that and we got to do this and we got to do that. Church has to do this and church got to do that. No, faithful is he, not me. Doesn't say faithful is me who called me who will do it. It says faithful is he who calls you who will also what? Do it. God's going to do it. Has God said he'll lead us? Romans 8, 11 through 14. Does he say he'll quicken us according to his word? These are promises from God. And they never fail. 1 Kings 8:56, not, by the way, it doesn't say the hope, not the promise. It says not even one word of the promise will fail that God has promised to his people. Those are the promises of God. Ever meet people that make promises and it never happens? Probably I've done it to you. I don't know. I probably have done that. Who said yes? No. I hope I didn't. No, I mean, people make promises. Governments make promises. Politicians make promises. Old sin nature people make promises. Natural people make promises. Parents make promises. Children make promises. No, I love this verse. All the promises of God are in him, yes, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Don't you like that? They're, all of them are yes, not no. Yes, yes, yes. And they're amen. That's amazing. I love it. Yes and amen. Healing, I'll heal you. God heals, doesn't he? Yes. Hello. Can God provide your needs? Yes, even when you tithe and go beyond with offering beyond the tithe. There's no reason we should be $50,000 down. It's ridiculous. Sorry. Shouldn't happen that way. Hello. Give. God's made a promise. My God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. That is a what? Promise from God. How about this promise? I can do all things through Christ, not through me. That what? Strengthens me. Huh? And when they grow old, they will not depart. Speaking of children. Oh, they might go through some rough times. That's okay. There's these rivers and things that they run rough, and then all of a sudden they come to a nice pool. Calm water. Huh? God's given us promises concerning children and grandchildren. Hello? How about promises about speaking the word of God? Go stand and speak in the temple the words of this life, Acts 5:20. God says, I'm going to give you a promise. You share the gospel and people will be touched. Some people will say yes, and some people will say no. That's all part of the gospel. You know, I get some people, they get me. Can't believe how many times I was rejected. Usually I get rejected most of the time. That's okay. It doesn't matter. People have got to have an opportunity to say no. God will bring it back to them at the great white throne judgment. He will. But I got a promise from God. Bring the message of the gospel to people. Hello? Saturday mornings, we go out, 9:30, 10 o'clock until 12. You can go out with somebody. Maybe you've never gone before. You can go out with somebody and just kind of stand there and watch for a month. And then probably you'll figure it out the first day and do all the talking. No, these are promises from God, right? I've given all authority in heaven and earth is given unto me. Go. We got 768 churches in the world. Do you know that? Hello? 768 churches and 33,000 people coming to church. Greater grace isn't just what you see here. Hello, give God a hand. No, really. God said, all authority is given unto me. Go. Go. 3,500 Bible college students taking classes around the world. Hallelujah again. Yeah. Here's another promise. Say hallelujah to it. Here's a promise. I can deliver you from 6,000 demons, Mark chapter 5. It can just take 1 second and out they go. Out now. They're gone. And he becomes a preacher. That's a promise from God. By the way, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Are you with me? And he was manifest to destroy the works of the devil. The devil. The devil this and the devil that. Shut up. Devil, shut your mouth. Shut up. Okay, that's Zechariah 3:1. I rebuke you, O Satan. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Can God heal? Yes. Can he heal mentally? Yes. help me. Yeah. He can heal mentally. He can heal physically. Yes. Hello? Can God deliver marriages? Yes. Yes? Can God give a husband love for his wife? Yes. Even when she doesn't deserve it. Yes. She always deserves it. Can a wife have love for her husband when he's Mr. Miserable and he says, "You burned the potatoes. Macaroni doesn't taste like my mother's." My poor wife, I'll say that. There's nobody that can make sauce like my mother. And she'll go, "Thanks. Your mother's in heaven. You got to wait to heaven to get to have that macaroni again." I can't wait for that one, huh? Look at the promises of God. God says that you can be forgiven and forgive your brother and sister if they've done something. Amen? He's given us a promise, and the word forgiveness means not just forgiven, but forgiven, forgotten, and gone forever. The word aphemi means it's passed from my mind. Hello? I don't need to remember what somebody's done to me. I don't even want to remember what I've done to myself. And I don't want to remember what I've done. He cast my sins in Isaiah 38 behind his back. Hello? He put him in the depths of the sea, Micah 7, 18 through 20. These are the promises of God. They're amazing. They're incredible. I go to prepare you a place. And if I go and prepare you a place, I'm going to come back and take you with me. For where I am, there you shall also be. Wow. That's a promise from God. Heaven is my home, not Baltimore. It is for now. I love it. By the way, I love Baltimore. I don't read what newspapers say. I could care less. I love Baltimore. We had a great time knocking on doors in some section someplace Tuesday night. I don't even know where I am. The only place I know how to get to with my car is here. One time I got lost trying to find my daughter's house. I mean, honestly, somebody in my own family, I don't even know how to get there. I got to ask for advice. Because it's not important. I'm just joking. My wife says, "There's a lot of things you don't remember." She goes, "If I ever went home to be with the Lord, you're not even going to be able to make an egg." I said, "That's what restaurants are for. Or for people in the body will cook for me. I don't know. Or I'll eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for the rest of my life." I ate one every day for 25 years. PBJ, is that how you say it? PBJ, yeah. Well, every day. I love them. Could eat a thing. Maybe we'll have one this afternoon. We got promises from God. We're going to bear fruit in our older age. Hello? You're going to retire? You're going to retire?
I'm getting up there, you know.
No, you're going up there, I know. You're not getting up there, we know, okay? Are you listening? Huh? Promises. Somebody promised me they were going to move to Ghana years ago. I won't say who it is. They said it to me on my porch. I won't say who it is. Because I made a promise not to uncover his lack of keeping promises. No, I knew he wasn't coming. I just was entertaining him. Got a promise, amen? You got a promise from Malawi, right? Stand up. These two are amazing. I already spoke about them. Look at these two amazing Armands, Pastor Armand. They got a promise from God. Huh? Right? You'll be preaching when you're 95. Is that right? Huh? You're not 95 now, are you? No. Okay, you'll be preaching when you're 95. That's a what? Promise from God. He that winneth souls is wise. What would you call that? Promise. A promise from God. Are you with me? What incredible opportunities. These are exceeding great and precious promises, and that by these we become partakers of the divine nature, and that's how we escape. We escape by being a partaker of the promises. Somebody said to me, "You got to cut your travel down." I said, "You got to cut your hair." I ain't cutting nothing down. God's going to take me out of this thing. If he gives me energy to do it, I'm going to do it. Not because it's anything any better or any more than anybody else does, but this is what God called me to do. God's given you a call, amen? Amen. He's not taking it away. Is he? No, he's not. God's promised to fellowship with us. God's promised to be a light in darkness. Hello, you going through darkness? Huh? "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear not evil, for you are with me." Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I'm with you. Amen? God is my refuge and God is my strength, the very present help in time of trouble. Psalm 46, it says it three times. He's my refuge and my strength. He's a very present what? Help. And he'll help me right early. I don't know how we're going to do this. I don't know how we're going to pay the bills. Let God pay them. Let God give you insight. Let God give you wisdom. God can do it. Hallelujah. He spoke the world into existence in just a few days. What's my little thing? What's my problem? I need a new cell phone? I got one that's 20 years old and I love it. Somebody bought me a new one. I said, it's too slippery. And I put it in my hand. The flip phone fits right in my hand and I cover it. The other one's too slippery. I'll lose that in a minute. Just like that. God gave us a promise. I got Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 through 14. When I landed in Accra, Ghana in 1986, God gave me that promise. And he said, you're going to have churches in every single country and every capital of every country in West Africa. And to this day, there is. Then he said, it's time to go east. And we went east. Then he said, it's time to go south. And we went south. And now he said, it's time to go north. And we had our first church service in Morocco. You know what they said to me? They got 12 people. They got 12 people in the church. Yosef, who's in charge of the church, they said, we got a mega church. He says, it's a mega. 12 people in Morocco is a mega church. Imagine that. Imagine if you ever saw this. Wouldn't know what to do. Why? God gave us a promise for North Africa and Algeria and Western Sahara. And it's not just about, I'm not talking about missions. I know I work in missions. But I'm talking about the promises of God. They're sure, they never fail. They're absolutely true. Hebrews 6, 13 through 18, Titus chapter 1, verse 2. They never lie. These are the promises of God. That's why Bible college is important. You get to learn more about what? The promises. Hello? The promises of God. And we can evaluate circumstances and situations and tests and trials according to sight, our emotions, how we think, somebody else's evaluation. Or we can evaluate what's going on according to the promises of God. Hello? According to the promises of God. I remember when I had the stroke and I was lying in a bed in Ghana and could not move, only an eyelid, right? I think all I could do was move an eyelid. You were there, right? Just my eye moved. And the devil was, boy, when you're in those kind of situations, the devil loves to project. You're going to die. No, I'm not. Stupid. You're going to hell. You're never going to make it out of this hospital. Really? Well, you're going to be in a hospital forever. A hell hospital. I'm getting out of this hospital. And then you know what they said because of the stroke? I didn't even know how to wash my hands. I didn't know how to use the bathroom. I didn't know how to dress myself. They said, you're going to have to, like, learn how to knit. Do something at home like knitting. I said, I'm knit together in love with God. And I'm going to be healed. And God healed me, by the way, in the pulpit. Years ago, in this pulpit, I got healed. God reconnected the brain. I don't know if it's all reconnected, but a lot of it is. But you know what? I got promises from God, right? Got promises from God. You got any promises from God? Yeah. Don't let the devil lie to you. He's the father of all lies. And he'll say, based on what you see and based on what you feel, it's not, oh yeah, where are the promises of God? When, oh, Jesus is coming back. Oh, really? He'll find out. Oh, yes, he is. Hallelujah. My God loves me. He forgives me. He's faithful. He helps me. He guides me. He leads me. He's merciful. He gives me energy and strength. He helps me to disciple and be disciple. All the promises of God are in him, not in me. In him, yes, and in him, amen. Unto the glory of God by us. We simply believe them. Hallelujah. Sickness can go like that. And if it doesn't, don't condemn yourself. Maybe you'll go like this. Maybe it'll take a little bit longer or whatever. But God is faithful. He called us. He is, and we don't fellowship only with the promise, but first and foremost, we fellowship with the promiser. And the timing of the promise is with God and God alone. Father, thank you today. Thank you. Let's stand and just think about the promises of God. Think about a promise that God has given you. Think about promises you want to have God give you. Say, Jesus, say this out loud. Jesus, thank you. You are the promiser. And you never lie. You are true and faithful. And I believe God. Paul was on a sinking boat and he said, I believe God, it shall be even as he told me. I believe in the promises. I'm going over to the other side. Yes, the trial is nothing. I meet God in my trial, in my test. All these promises, if you're here today, here's a promise. Call upon me and I will answer. Not just prayer, Jeremiah 31, 1 through 3, but I will save you. Salvation is of the Lord. If you are here, you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. With our eyes closed, our heads bowed, you're on the internet, put your hand up. Jesus, save me. We had somebody get saved this morning. Save me. Save me. Thank you, God. You're here and you are this morning. God wants to say yes to the promises. Put your hand up. You got a special promise you are asking God for. Maybe you got a lot of them, but maybe there's something that's right in the forefront of your mind right now. Just lift your hand. Hey, Jesus, you're the promiser. You promised. You promised. And you can never lie. Thank you. You brought Joseph's bones out of Egypt. Genesis 50, 24, Exodus 13, 19, Joshua 24, 32, Hebrews 11, 22. The bones of Joseph came out. He said, swear a promise and an oath to me. You're going to bring my bones out. And they brought his bones out because God did it. Thank you for the promises of God. Promises for a wayward teenager or a wayward young adult. Promises of God for healing. Promises of God financially. Promises of God to make our budget, to bring that $50,000 back where it belongs. Promises from God for souls to be saved. Promises from God that both church services, 9/11, will be filled. Promises from God, I can come Sunday night. Promises from God, prayers answered, loved ones saved, marriages reconciled, deliverance, drugs gone, no more drugs, alcohol, any kind of addiction, pornography, overdosing on television, addictions, the promises of God. They're all yes and amen unto the glory of God by us. We thank you today. We praise you. Really bless our time of prayer as we close now. We close it now? Is that okay? Should I close now? Yeah? Okay. Thank you, God. As people come forward to have prayer, God, the pastors would come down in front, please. And people would come forward. You could have somebody pray for you. Maybe it's just a quick prayer. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God, for all the promises. Thank you that they're exceeding great and precious. Thank you that by them we're partakers of the divine nature. Thank you that they're sure. Thank you that they're true. Thank you that not one word will ever fail. Thank you, God, because you are the promiser and your word is true and sure and faithful. Bless our time today. Bring us back tonight with a great expectation. God is faithful. Yes, he can deliver me from doing nothing on Sunday night. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, bless today. Amen and amen. You can come forward. Have a great day.